WBSM presents The Tim Meisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Meisberg Show.
Tuesday to you. Welcome into a new day here on the program. A wet day. Well, a little damp, we'll say. But it will be wet because it's going to rain some more, as you heard Christina tell you. But things will get better. And we've got a lot that we can discuss today at 508-996-0500. App chat and open line voicemails, both open on the WBSM app. We'll also have a brand new day full of cash codes for you to try to make that money talk. We'll have your first code coming up in the 8 o'clock hour and then a code every hour through 5 p.m. Each one of those a chance for you to win $1,000. And you can find out more about how to play at WBSM.com or on the WBSM app. Money Talks is brought to you by Long Moving and Storage. So far, we're getting, I think, a record number of entries this time around. So we appreciate all of you playing, but we appreciate more the fact that all of you are listening all day long to get those codes. Before we get into anything else, I just want to give a shout out to my friend Jody Ritson. You heard there on America in the Morning, Kevin Carr was talking about the Happy Days reunion that happened at the Steel City Comic Con. They got Ron Howard, Henry Winkler, Anson Williams, and Don Most all together. So Richie, Fonzie, Potsy, and Ralph all together for that event. And it's actually my friend Jody who is the handler for them, the PR person for them, the coordinator for them. So she worked, I don't know if anybody remembers my Saturday morning show, but I used to have Jody on to talk about some of the different celebrities that she worked with, and she would get some of them on with me. She got us Billy J. Kramer. She got us Jerry Reichel, who played Fake Jan in the Brady Bunch Variety Hour. She introduced me to Christian Nesmith and Cersei Link, the son of Mike Nesmith and his wife. So many folks. She's the one that got me the Mickey Dolenz autograph that's hanging up in my office because she works very closely with Mickey. She worked with Mike as well. But she's just an awesome, awesome person and is a direct conduit between the fans and these celebrities. So when she was doing all the work she was doing with the monkeys, she happened to, if I remember correctly, she really wanted to meet Henry Winkler, and somehow that was able to happen. And then that turned into she became the person representing them and putting these things together as they were hitting the convention circuit. And then she said she got invited to a Happy Days like reunion dinner. And Ron Howard showed up and she was like, oh my God, I can't believe like Ron Howard, one of the most powerful men in Hollywood, is here. And in conversations with Ron, he said, you know, I'd like to do some of those. Can you arrange it so that I can do some of those too? Like, here's a guy who runs a huge movie studio in Imagine Pictures. You know, here's a guy who directs Oscar-nominated and Oscar-winning films. And he's saying to my friend Jody, can you get me booked into some of these conventions? Because he just wants to go out and meet the fans and hang out with his friends. And so she got to be with all four of them this weekend. She was posting photos and videos all weekend. And one of the highlights for them was she brought Kevin Spacey over to the table. They had really wanted to meet Kevin Spacey. And, you know, I mean, Kevin Spacey's legal troubles aside, you know, it meant something to her friends and clients that she was able to bring him over. So just the little things like that. Like, she never She never forgets that she's a fan first. She never forgets the fans, and she never forgets that the folks that she's working with are fans of other people as well, and that she can help them, you know, meet the stars that they admire. So I thought that was cool hearing that this morning and saying, Jody made that happen. Maybe we'll have to have her come on sometime soon to talk about just all the work that she does. Because, again, I know plenty of people who are agents for celebrities in the convention circuit. I've done enough of these over the years. My friend John Brightman used to represent me. You know, he's very tied into all of that, but I've gotten to know a lot of the folks. You know, I'm friendly with the folks from Rhode Island Comic Con. I bowl with the guy who books the talent. So, you know, you kind of understand the business side of this, but with Jody, it's different. With Jody, it's just for, in fact, she was doing this for a long time without even getting paid. I believe it was Nez that told her, like, what? How much do you get? No, we're going to fix that. But that's the thing, is it's, you know, when you're a fan first and when you want to make sure the fans are taken care of, it's not a job, it's not work. So maybe when she has some downtime, because she's always busy, but maybe when she has a chance, we'll have her come on and just kind of talk a little bit about, because I think Mickey's coming up for a convention here sometime soon in New England. So maybe that'd be a good time to have her come on. So yesterday was the election in Fairhaven. If you missed the results, I'll go through them quickly. Natalie Mello defeated Rick Trapello for the select board. These are unofficial results, by the way. 1,122 votes to 982 votes. So about 160 votes, right? Does that sound right? For the planning board, Miles Grant was the top vote getter, 1,137. Sean Powers, 1,102. So they both are elected. Kathy Melanson got 952 votes. For the school committee, Kelly Ochoa, I think I'm saying that right, 1,102 votes. And Eric Anderson, 1,041 votes. They both are elected to the school committee. Coming in next was Brenda Lee Smith, 699, and Patty Pasella, 630. For the Board of Health, Brian Menezes, I'm sorry, I didn't pay attention to this election nearly as much as I should have, and certainly not as much as Chris McCarthy did, so he'll be able to give you better insight into it. But he got 1,021 votes. Christina Lopes, 900. So still pretty close there. Board of Public Works, Ann Morton Smith was running unopposed. Commissioner of Trust Funds, Barbara Axon, was running unopposed. And Town Clerk Elizabeth Horan was running unopposed. So there you have it. The headline, I guess, is the select board race with Natalie Mello defeating Rick Trapello. And listen, Rick is a great guy. I've gotten to know him a little bit here over the last couple of years as he's been involved with different things. And he is a guy that definitely cares about the community. So, you know, he'll still be involved in some fashion, I am sure. 508-996-0500. Yesterday, I put up a story at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app. You know, as we're taking the train, now that the train is here, people are getting nostalgic and remembering some of the transportation of the past. Because for some folks, they remember when the train was a mode of transportation around here. It's been nearly 70 years since that was a regular thing, but some do remember that. But one thing I think that's a little bit more immediate in the minds of some people is the ferry Shimanshi, which never had the kind of larger regional presence. I mean, like people who lived in New Bedford loved it. People who, you know, went to the Vineyard, they might have loved it, depending on whether they preferred to go to Woods Hole or not. But certainly it was New Bedford's ferry. New Bedford people loved it. But it didn't have the catchy jingle of the Block Island ferry. You know, I don't think there's ever been any reference. There might have been I don't think there's ever been a reference to it on Family Guy, but I think there might have been. It's hard to tell with almost 30 years of Family Guy. Yeah, I said that right. It's been like 25 years, right? So, I mean, there was those years that it wasn't on, but anyway, the Shemanshi still is something that people around here lament the loss of. And so I found a video on YouTube. Actually, I shouldn't say I found it. It was sent to me. But there was a video on YouTube that I found to be fascinating, and I thought that you would as well. And so you can read about that and watch the video and see what it looks like now. The Shemanshi is sinking into a creek in New York. And there doesn't really seem to be a rush to do anything about it. It's currently owned by, from what I can tell, the shipyard where it is, where it's being held. But I don't think that they care about it. I think they're probably going to scrap it at some point. It had been, so a crash pad was the term that I saw used for it. It was a place where artists had kind of been living a bohemian lifestyle until including rigging up their own plumbing system and their own electricity until the fire department came and told everybody they couldn't stay on the boat anymore, couldn't stay on the ship. So they were all moved along. This thing started sinking. It's pretty much mostly submerged at this point, and I don't know what the plan is. I think it's too far gone to be able to do anything about it, but I don't know. I don't know that for a fact. I don't know if somebody couldn't rescue it and refurbish it and bring it back to New Bedford, but there's always these ideas. Let's buy the Paul Revere sign and bring that back to New Bedford. Well, no, there's a private collector that owns that now, and he bought it at an auction, and it's his, and he's not really looking to get rid of it. Let's bring the Shemanshi back to New Bedford and do what with it? Take up space on the waterfront? Well, it just sits there. I remember about 20 years ago or so, there was a movement to try to get the Charles W. Morgan brought back to New Bedford. Why? Mystic brought it there and refurbished it and put all the effort into it and has kept it going all these years. You just want to come in and take it? I mean, sure, it'd be nice if you brought it up here for a couple of weeks every summer, but I don't think you need to have it here permanently. Colonel Green let it fall into disrepair over at Round Hill. I believe it was just sitting in his yard. I don't even think it was in the water. So they were able to save it and give it new life. But I get it. You know, you get nostalgic for things. You want to see them come back. Do you have any Shemanshi memories? 508-996-0500. I called it beloved in the title, and some people are pushing back on that and saying that there was nothing beloved about it. Others are trying to say it's not the Shemanshi, but there's a thing called the fisheye lens that's going to make it look like it's not as long as it was, as it is. Plus, it's mostly underwater, so it's not going to look the way you remember it, but that's what it is. I matched it up with GPS coordinates and all kinds of other things to be certain. 508-996-0500. Let me take a break here. We'll be back in a few moments. And we will have tickets to give away in the future to Cyndi Lauper's final Boston area concert coming up this summer at Xfinity Center. and a whole bunch of other shows. We had our promotions meeting yesterday, and we were talking about some of the concerts that we're going to be giving tickets away to, and I'm very excited about the lineup that we have. And, of course, all of our ticket giveaways on the show here are brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits, 115 Huddleston Avenue in Fairhaven, the home of the Purple Dot, where you can try before you buy. And they're also the sponsors of the half-hour news here with Mike Roberts. Let's go to it and get you an update on all the top stories of the day.
Another measles death in Texas. President Trump planning a military parade for his birthday. And congestion pricing likely to stay in New York.
From the Cottage Street Motors WBSM newsroom, this is WBSM News.
A federal judge says the Trump administration violated a court order when it paused FEMA funding. On the day of his inauguration, President Trump signed an executive order to rescind millions of dollars in FEMA funds to states. On Friday, a judge ruled that the move disobeyed a court's previous order that blocked the administration from withholding federal funding. A 25-year-old woman clinging to life after being stabbed in the neck on Monday in Lower Manhattan by a man wielding a broken bottle.
The NYPD says the terrifying attack was random and happened at the corner of Worcester and Broome Streets in Soho. At about 3 p.m., a man wearing an NYPD hoodie and gold chain approached the woman and slit her neck with a broken bottle. She's reportedly in critical condition at Bellevue Hospital. The suspected stabber was arrested at the scene. He gave a fake name to police who say he appears to be an emotionally disturbed man in his 40s. I'm Sarah Lee Kessler.
American cattle ranchers are lining up behind President Trump's tariffs on beef. Steve Lucy is a fifth generation cattle rancher out of Illinois.
We have to deal with a little bit of pain to have some gain, right? And I think we're going to have to just do that.
Lucy says a lot of countries have been imposing tariffs. The National Cattlemen's Beef Association says President Trump is taking action to address numerous trade barriers that prevent consumers overseas from enjoying high-quality, wholesome American beef. President Trump scoring a big victory in the Supreme Court. With a 5-4 ruling yesterday, the court will allow the Department of Justice to remove alleged Venezuelan gang members from the country under the Alien Enemies Act. The ruling ends a lower court freeze on Trump using the act. Trump may now invoke the 1798 law to speed up removals while things play out in lower courts. A second Texas child has died in a measles outbreak that has grown to more than 500 known cases.
The State Department of Health and Human Services did not release specific details on the victim. They would only say it's a school-aged child with no underlying condition. The death is being attributed to measles pulmonary failure. Health Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. said in a statement that the most effective way to prevent the spread of measles is the MMR vaccine. I'm Lisa Taylor.
President Trump firing one of the top U.S. military officers at NATO. That's according to multiple reports. Navy Vice Admiral Shoshana Chatfield served as the representative to NATO's military committee, let go for unknown reasons. It comes as the Trump administration fired the head of the National Security Agency last week. A 54% tax on imports from China by President Trump is impacting businesses in one of Northern California's most visited regions, San Francisco's Chinatown. Kirk Gibbs, president of the American Chamber of Commerce in Shanghai, says tariffs are now higher than ever before.
Are these permanent tariffs where he's restructuring the whole global trading system, or is this a negotiating position?
Chinatown businesses used to avoid extra costs from previous tariffs by routing goods through Vietnam or Latin America. The most recent tariffs have limited their options. Most goods for businesses in Chinatown come from overseas. Business owners say higher costs for them could mean they'll have to pass the buck on to the customer. It looks like congestion pricing will stay in place in New York until at least the fall. Kristen Marks has the story.
The Trump administration has given the MTA the deadline of April 20th to put the brakes on the tolling plan while the agency insists it isn't going anywhere. Now, the MTA has submitted court documents to a federal judge that show that they and the feds are agreeing to a timeline of legal motions that span several months, meaning the deadline won't be enforced. Betsy Plum of the Riders Alliance has seen the documents.
We won this program over many, many years. It isn't going anywhere soon.
The federal government could still try to put its foot down on the deadline, but a decision on that would likely be up to the judge.
WBSM Sports.
Sox lost to the Blue Jays 6-2 last night. Those two back together tonight at 6:45. Bruins take on the Devils in New Jersey tonight at 7. Celtics are in New York with the Knicks at 7:30. As the 2025 Masters continue this week, Augusta National announcing a partnership with Tiger Woods. Here's more from Liz Kennedy.
The collaboration between the Pristine Golf Club and five-time Masters champion will be a project focused on enhancing education and golf accessibility in Augusta. It will do so through the TGR Learning Lab at the former Lamar Elementary School, providing STEAM education for Richmond County students. The lab, scheduled to open in April 2028, aims to support under-resourced communities through career readiness and hands-on learning. Part of the project will also include renovating the city's municipal golf course, The Patch. I'm Liz Kennedy.
Now your ABC 6 South Coast forecast.
It is going to get pretty darn breezy with gusts up into the 20s, 30s, and some in the 40s, not out of the question. Temperatures in the mid-40s today, a little bit cool for this time of year, but at least we leave the rain behind. From the ABC 6 Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Christina Schallhoop on New Bedford's News Talk Station, 1420 WBSM.
This WBSM News Update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy, only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven. I'm Mike Roberts, WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's News Talk Station, WBSM, and get breaking news alerts and all of our content with the WBSM app.
Welcome back in. 508-996-0500. App chat. Open line voicemails. Both open for you on the WBSM app. And yesterday we brought you the story about the Fall River police officer currently on leave from the department who was arrested by the Boston Police Human Trafficking Unit for allegedly trying to have sex with a 15-year-old girl. We have confirmed now through the his court appearance, his arraignment, that it was a female that he was trying to meet. They just didn't give that information in the report originally. But this police officer, Mitchell Walsh, 28 years old, is accused of attempting to meet a 15-year-old girl for sex who is actually an undercover police officer. He had first made contact 6 weeks ago on a website that is used by people who are trafficked and those looking to purchase sex from victims, according to the prosecutors. WCVB reports that the defendant began texting the undercover officer saying things like, "Let's do this tonight. I got stuff. You free tonight? I'll get a tell," which is slang for hotel. "Let's meet. How about 200? I'll bring essentials and we'll have a night." Those are just some of the, you know, individual statements that were sent. And it says that the defendant made several phone calls via FaceTime with the undercover officer in which he discussed bringing cocaine and a bottle of Tito's vodka. And they found both of those items in his vehicle. So he was charged with one count of enticement of a child under 16, sexual conduct for a fee with a child, attempt to commit a crime, to wit, the attempted rape of a child, and possession with intent to distribute a Class B drug. And we now know that at the time of his arrest, Walsh was on extended leave from the Fall River Police Department due to a substance abuse issue. So he was released on $5,000 bail, and as part of his bail condition, he had to surrender his passport and must stay away from all children and will return to court on May 5th. But Fall River Mayor Paul Coogan provided a statement about it. Now, I saw there was some concern yesterday because, you know, here we have the former police chief of Fall River, Paul Govin. He was accused that there was the Target 12 report last week about how he had left a knife and a bullet in the desk for his successor. Basically saying, you know, you're going to catch a bullet for stabbing me in the back. That's what the implication allegedly was. But Mayor Coogan, who was friends with Govin, you know, issued a full-throated rejection of his actions. And there were people who were saying, well, how come the mayor has been so quiet on this police officer? Well, I think because there's a difference. First of all, what former Chief Govin did happened on the job while he was an employee. So that gives the mayor the ability to comment on that as essentially his boss. What Officer Walsh did was on his own time, and therefore you have to kind of let the legal process play out a little bit and wait for him to be arraigned, which he was. And then after he's arraigned, then you can make a statement. You know, there's timing about this when it comes to personnel issues. If he was arraigned and they decided that there was no cause to go further with the trial, then anything that the mayor said could have been defamatory and could have led to. See, that's the thing is, people want instant reactions to things, and they don't understand that there is a balance of things that has to be followed. So when something goes down, you know, let's just say there's a crime that happens, and you want to come on the radio and talk about it and say everything that went on because you just heard it on the scanner. You know, I have to caution you and say, well, that's just a scanner report. We have to wait until we get the official word from the police because it's not always accurate. And we have to present the proper information. We're duty bound and license bound to do so. So we can't just go with unconfirmed things and make statements until people have been charged and things like that, because we've got to be responsible, and so does a mayor. But the mayor did come out and make a statement. I'm glad the Boston police caught him. We don't need people like this out on the streets, whether they are policemen, priests, teachers, or laborers. We don't need these people in society. And by the way, that brings me to another topic that was ongoing in New Bedford last week, the case of the scooter that got seized by the police officer, and someone had posted on social media about how this police officer had been rude to them and had been out of line and basically stole the scooter and all of that. And the New Bedford Police Department was able to release the body cam footage from that officer. And the court of public opinion turned very quickly against the person that made the original claim, because the video clearly showed that the officer behaved in a professional manner and that it was the person that they were dealing with who was escalating the situation or you know, not following what the officer was telling them. And I think that's a huge advantage now of having these body cameras and being able to release that footage. Is they took an entire narrative, a days-long narrative of people just bashing this police officer. And we were able to flip it around and prove that that wasn't what happened at all. So that's going to be a huge advantage going forward when people want accountability and transparency. Now they're going to be able to see it for themselves on video. 508-996-0500. Going to take a break here and we'll be back in a few moments. Back in 508-996-0500, app chat and open line voicemails, both available on the WBSM app. If you haven't downloaded the app already, well, today would be the day to do it because it's the easiest way to enter in all the codes to make that money talk. The first code is coming up in the 8 o'clock hour. We'll have a code every hour throughout the day, 10 codes each weekday, and each one is a chance to earn $1,000. You could be the winner, but you got to enter in those codes. And like I said, the app is the easiest way. You just open up the WBSM app, you hit the Money Talks button, and it's all right there for you. They actually have the boxes available just for today, plus the bonus boxes. Of course, you can follow us on social media and go to our YouTube channel and things like that. Those all earn you free entries. You can also like and follow and do some extra activities for our sponsor of Money Talks, Long Moving and Storage. That earns you extra entries. And then each day, it'll open up all of the boxes for that day. And you put the code in the right hour. And really, that's the only way you could mess up is if you just put it in the wrong box. But they're all marked clearly 8 a.m., 9 a.m., 10 a.m. You put in those codes, and then you're entered to win. And you could be $1,000 richer. And then coming up later on in the contest, $10,000 Thursdays. So what are you waiting for? Download that WBSM app right now. The app itself is brought to you by South Coast Towing. And it's so useful in your everyday life because not only can you hear WBSM on it, whether it be live streaming audio or our podcasts, but also because you can get our breaking news alerts. You can get all of our content, all of our stories, all of our contests, but also live traffic, live weather. You can set it as an alarm, whatever you need. It's all right there in the app. Just make sure that when you download the WBSM app, you set all the permissions in there, and then you'll be able to, you know, especially the location settings, that's how you get the live traffic and weather. And there's so much the app can do for you. I use it for pretty much everything now. When someone says, oh, I think you're off the air, I turn on the WBSM app. When someone says, hey, what's the temperature going to be later? I open up the WBSM app. Sometimes the sales folks will come in and say, I've got an appointment, but I heard there's traffic going on. Do you know how far of a backup it is? I just open up the WBSM app. And then I say to them, why didn't you just open up the WBSM app? But it's all right there for you. And again, the app is brought to you by South Coast Towing. All right, we've got one more break I've got to take before the end of the hour. Back in a few. Little known fact, that's actually a song about a female shark. Maneater. No, it's not really. All right, well, we're going to take a break for the news. When we come back on the other side, we can talk more with you. 508-996-